You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill, where we'll be looking ahead to cards at Chepstow, Nottingham and Salisbury in the afternoon, Kempton Park in the evening. There's an Irish card over at Sligo as well, and we'll be on air from 1:30pm in the company of Stuart Beasley, John Budden and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. But ahead of all that, my name is Sam Norris, and joining myself to look ahead to four races on Tuesday is Sam Turner. How are you, Mr. Turner?
I'm very well, Sam, thank you very much. No chance of me forgetting your name, is there?
No, you'd be in trouble.
I would
if
be.
If you forgot my name. Oh. How's life been treating you?
Very good, thank you, yeah. Looking forward to some cracking fare this weekend. The midweek stuff is a little bit below par, isn't it, compared to recent weeks. But it's a great time of the year because, obviously, the Arc's still coming. We've still got Champions Day. Some great stuff over the horizon on the jumps. Good meeting at Chepstow coming up, Cheltenham starting. So, yeah, it's a really, really exciting time of the year and, you know, lots of National Hunt horses to look forward to seeing, hopefully. And with a bit of rain in the air, they'll be able to get schooled, I would think, a little bit more. And it'd be a fantastic time of year to look forward to.
Yeah, that's right. A couple more big flat races and then we really get into the National Hunt stuff. Are you a jumps man, Sam, or do you not really have a preference?
I was sort of really a jumps man probably through my teens and 20s, and then sort of developed a bit more of a love for the flat. Found it a little bit easier to back winners and that obviously sort of taints your view a little bit. But I must admit, I'm really looking forward to this jump season. I think there's some amazing horses around at the moment, so hopefully we can kick the wheels on them all. And I think if you say to me, what is the one discipline that sort of makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up and you get a tear in the eye, it's always the jump scene, isn't it, really? You admire the flat horses and the speed and the power of them, but the majesty of the jumping horses and, you know, the likes of a tour or whoever it might be, you know, what you're going to see this year. You see performances really that blow you out the water on the jumps, I think. And if you ever go onto YouTube, for me, you always want to look at a Gold Cup or a Champion Hurdle from the 1980s and 90s. You never really go back and think, let me have a look at the Champion Stakes from 1992. You know, it's always a Grand National or a Gold Cup, as I say, or Champion Hurdle or Supreme Novices. Those are the races that really fire you up.
Yeah, bring some fantastic commentaries out, don't they? Have you got any horses in particular that you're looking forward to seeing over the National Hunt season?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that question. trying to narrow it down to one or two is very difficult. I was absolutely blown away with a tour last year. I think, you know, his performance at Cheltenham was absolutely astonishing. Be fascinating to see which way they go with him. I mean, he looks to have so much latent pace that, you know, you wouldn't believe that he's going to develop really into a 3.25 mile slogger in a Gold Cup. But he looks an absolute champion in the making for me, and just a phenomenal horse. Love him to bits. You know, there's one or two other sort of dark horses like Gallant Oscar, Tony Martins, you know, horses that you keep on the radar from Ireland. But I mean, the Mullins team, they just look to have so much strength in depth, you know, as everybody knows, that it's going to be fascinating to see how they get on and how they get placed.
Yeah, thoroughly looking forward to that. But of course, we've got some fantastic flat action before we get into the jump season. We'll move on to the Arc in due course. But first, I just want to recap yesterday, Sam, and a 12-1 winning nap for yourself. You ended up getting chinned out of 4 points towards the off when it was backed in. But Bell Desert yesterday, talk us through that one.
Well, I took you through the previous 7 to 10 days where I couldn't do anything right. So it was a relief as much as anything else. And I was quite staggered when it won. But it was a nice enough performance. There were a few sort of stars that aligned to go for it as a selection. Primarily, it had a run at Bath, which I like. I like course form. It had run in a really strong race that's working out well at York. That I know my compadre Andy Holding was onto from an early stage, and you know that is starting to work out well. So that's a form that's certainly worth revisiting. And just the Hollinshead team had a winner over the weekend on the jumps as well. So you know the yard's in quite good nick. Royston French is an underrated jockey, and he just doesn't seem to get the opportunities that he once had. But he's done very well in Dubai and made his money out there in the last three or four seasons. And I suppose he's entering into the veteran stage of his career. But the thing I admire about Royston is that he's still riding, he's still going, he's got great longevity, and he's managed to overcome a six-month spell when I booked his rides for him back in the day, and he still lived to tell the tale. So I didn't get him many winners, unfortunately, and you know, it was a tricky period of his of his career because he dropped his hands on one of Mark Johnson's at Doncaster and sort of fell out of favour a little bit. He was doing really well. He was getting some great rides, and he was a really strong lightweight. He'd get a lot of rides around the 8 stone, 7.12 mark, and unfortunately, the wheels came off at Doncaster the one day, and he sort of fell out of favour pretty quickly. But he's re-established himself, and he's not going to get a big job now, but he's, you know, he's done very well as a freelance.
Yeah, I think quite a few people feel that Royston French is a little bit underused by trainers. But good to see him in and amongst the winners yesterday. And that shoots you up to third in the NAPS table. Just a little clutch of you, yourself, Rory and John Budden, just keeping Ross Briley honest. Keeping
absolutely.
Him on his toes.
I thought he was coming back to us a little bit. And then he banged in a couple of nice price winners. The one at Hamilton, which I missed as well, was an absolute killer that day. That was a pen up the telly job. Alexander Collin-Tye, when he tipped that.
Yeah.
And I should have done as well because I do like that filly a lot. So he's done very well, Ross. He's managed to combining a stand-up career, a radio career, a TV career.
He's got the lot, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. He's got the lot. He's got the looks. He's got the charisma. He's got the charm.
Yeah.
And he's got the personality. You hate some people, don't you? Go
absolutely.
Off him.
Yeah. But you look set to be king of September, at least for the Naps table, barring a big price winner in the last couple of days. You're £5 clear of... Lord Budden in second place.
Really?
For the month, yeah.
Okay, what's the monthly prize? Is there anything?
I think there is, yeah. You'll have to...
Cheese on toast.
No, a hearty handshake, Sam.
Great, a slap on the back Ben Bramley, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather be where I am than Gary Capel anyway.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
But it was a bit of a relief yesterday because they hadn't been running very well, so... I hope one or two people perhaps kept the faith and did have a shilling each way and hadn't given up on me.
Good. Yeah, there was plenty of correspondence on the emails yesterday. I know some people did back that. We'll move on then to chat about the ARC pretty quickly. We've got first forfeit stage at the moment. 20 of them are still left in, including the John Gosden pair, of course, of Jack Hobbs and Golden Horn. I suppose Jack Hobbs is just left in case there is a deluge in France.
And it doesn't look like being so sunshine all week. Fantastic for people who are going to Longchamp this weekend. See a couple of days of great racing and an arc which you could see cutting up a little bit. I mean, there's a maximum field of 15, but that includes the likes of Eagle Top, who is probably unlikely to run. You know, there might be two or three sort of absentees, and at least that takes out the draw being a major contributing factor to Hard Luck Stories. You know, you should get like 12 or 14 round Longchamp, should be a pretty fair race, reasonable gallop on, and a quality field, you know, absolutely fantastic field. Obviously, Trev is the one that everybody has to beat. You know, she's going to be very difficult to dethrone as well, looking for that, you know, historic third win in the race. And, you know, Madam Head, Cricket Head, didn't think that she got her right last year, and she still absolutely bolted up, tanking and running away. So
she looks even better this year as well.
Yeah. I mean, one or two people have said, well, is the ground going to be a bit quick for her? But I can't see. It's a nice, level, flat track. It'll be autumn ground anyway, so there'll be a bit of moisture. The days are obviously shorter, so I can't see it drying out too much. And I think the French clerk of the course might stick a little bit of precipitation on if it looked like getting that way. He's obviously going to make sure that it's favourable for the home team. But it's also encouraged, you know, the dry forecast is good because it's encouraged John Gosden to, you know, aggressively campaign Golden Horn, which is fantastic to see. You know, the Derby winner, the Irish Champion Stakes winner in there, and, you know, the Coral Eclipse winner as well. It's absolutely phenomenal race. New Bay, the impressive Niel winner is there for Andre Farb. You've always got to respect him. The old boy Flintshire adds a little bit of extra lustre to the race, and it's just a terrific heat. You know, the Great Gatsby, and I mean, he's going to be a big price founder, be a big price. Free Eagles being 16-20-1, you know, third in the Irish Champion, good winner at Royal Ascot, that form working out well with the Corsican in behind him that day, winning the other day. So there are some, you know, really top quality horses in opposition Sunday. It promises to be a fascinating race.
Yeah, it looks set to be an absolutely belting renewal at Longchamp. I'll just run you through the prices as we have them here with William Hill. For the Arc, Trev remains the 4-5 favourite, 4-1 about New Bay. Golden Horn is 5-1, 10-1 for Jack Hobbs. Found 16s, for Eagle 16s, 25s bar those. One more thing before we get into Tuesday's racing. If any of our listeners haven't seen it yet, do watch the 4:45 at Ross Common from yesterday. tremendous bit of sportsmanship from Danny Mullins, effectively picking up Jody McCarthy from a date with the dirt, pulled him back onto his horse as he looks to be falling. It must have happened before, Sam. I personally have never seen it before, I don't think.
No, I wonder whether it happens a little bit more often out in the country, you know, in a big field race where something might stumble or whatever and somebody will just give him a nudge back into the saddle. So you wonder whether that has happened before. But that was quite a blatant case and, you know, terrific to see. I've seen sort of whips getting shared about when somebody's lost the whip and they're travelling better down the hill at Cheltenham. And we had that incident, I think, in either an amateur rider race where a whip was lent and there was a bit of censorship there afterwards. You know, they got done for that.
Yeah. But
no, it was great to see. And I could think of one or two jockeys that might push other jockeys out the saddle, but not helping them back into it. That was an unusual one. So yeah. Made a nice clip on Twitter and YouTube, hasn't it?
Yeah, it did. It was good to see. Very good to see. We'll move on then to take a look at some of Wednesday's racing now. We'll start with three from Nottingham, then we'll take in one from Salisbury, and we'll start with the Nottingham 345. This is a handicap over a mile and a quarter. It's a Class 3 event with 11 of them down to go to post, and a couple of them arriving here in good heart, Sam.
Yeah, very much so, including Moccasin for Jeff Harker, a six-year-old who sort of almost came from last to first to win at Redcar last week and really benefited from a strong pace. And I wonder whether he might just follow up again here, because there looks the prospect of another very true gallop with the likes of Lord Franklin and Save the Bees in opposition. They're drawn 3 and 8 respectively, Moccasin in between them. And I just wonder if one of those two will get on with it from the outset and help to set up a bit of a ferocious pace and help those closers, and of which Moccasin fits into that criteria. It's a tricky little race. You know, there's one or two unexposed three-year-olds. Mick Appleby's got one in. Zamperini with a visor on first time, and Brutus are all interesting contenders. But at least Moccasin's in good form at the moment. He's off a fair enough mark. And Jeff Harker's horse is running pretty well in the main. Even old Shamahart's been threatening, as he normally does, admittedly. But, he did manage to win a race. Cabal absolutely sluiced up at Wolverhampton the other day. Obviously, Moccasin's winning. So it could be a yard just to keep an eye on for the next week or 10 days. And, you know, the likes of Blinking, if that runs this weekend in the straight mile final at Redcar, might be one just to have a look at. But I think Moccasin, if it's an each-way price, would certainly be of interest to me in that mile and a quarter contest.
We'll move on to another race from Nottingham. This is the 450. This is a handicap over 6 furlongs. It's a Class 3 event with 17 of them down to go to post. And included amongst the contenders is our very own John Babb, Sir Billy Wright, who shoulders top weight here. What did you like, Sam?
Yeah, in the Wolves colours as well, Sir Billy Wright.
Absolutely.
And, I hope John won't mind me saying, I mean, they obviously had a great day in the sun with Queen Aggie at Wolverhampton last week, but they also lost Pyrocumulus, who's a multiple winner for the syndicate. Really, really sad loss. He'd done terrifically well, the horse, since being claimed, and was desperate to see him lose his life through colic. But at least Queen Aggie put a smile back on the faces last week, and Sir Billy Wright looks to endorse that performance with another one for a terrifically successful syndicate in this series final. Been the plan for some little time, been freshened up after two or three runs in a bog at Foss Lass. Tom McCann back on, so a big show should come from Sir Billy Wright. Personally, I like him over 5 furlongs with a bit of cut in the ground rather than perhaps 6 on faster ground. So I'm just going to overlook him very reluctantly, which John will be very relieved about, and go with Crew Cut instead. Stuart Williams is sprinter. Adam Kirby looks a good booking. Course winner. Good second last time out to George Bowen at Newmarket in that very, very competitive Grays race. George Bowen obviously won that off a mark of 85 for the all-conquering Richard Fahy team, and is now rated 100, given he then went on to win very comfortably at the Curragh, beating Master Speaker in a ferociously run and contested handicap before going to Ayr, of course, running in the Silver Cup, and he managed to get beat by Tuckless, who is stablemate. Don't quite know how he lost that race, to be honest. Paul Hannigan looked as though he got all the field covered, but Tuckless kept pulling out more. So that form looks very solid. And Crew Cut was only a length behind George Bowen. Nicely drawn in 10. Can go sort of either way or down the middle of the track. Stuart Williams has his team in good order. And fingers crossed, Crew Cut, the old boy at the age of 7, can put up a good show in that contest.
Crew cut the pick then for Sanford Stuart Williams and Adam Kirby. The next race on the podcast comes up at 5:20. This is another Nottingham race. It's a handicap over 5 furlongs. 17 of them again will go down to post for this one. What did you like, Sam?
Yeah, probably keep this brief. Another 7-year-old, Flash City, who's a horse that doesn't win as often as his should suggest. Put my tooth back in. But he does contest big field handicaps up the north. And, you know, it is difficult to get your head in front in these. But he does... He does come into the race in very good order at the moment. He ran third behind Keep It Dark, who's a horse that's on fire, and has subsequently gone in again at Ripon. That was a good enough effort from Flash City. I think the return to Nottingham could see an upsurge in his fortunes, and he just looks perceivably well handicapped at the moment. I think it's the right sort of test for him. He's drawn three, which is a little bit over on the far side. Hopefully there's a little bit of pace in and around him, but with Sleepy Blue Ocean in the race, who would be my danger, hopefully we'll get a decent price about Flash City.
Flash City then for Sam in that final of the races that we'll come to from Nottingham. Just one more then on today's podcast. This is the 4:30 at Salisbury. It's a Class 2 condition stakes here over 6 furlongs. We've got the dead eight at the time of recording, so there could be a nice each way angle into the race. And some interesting two-year-olds here, Sam.
Yeah, good heat this. A race that I probably haven't spent as much time on as I'd like. Projection would be towards the head of the shortlist. He disappointed a little bit at York on soft ground in that yearling race behind Taz Leap, but that form is quite warm, and he's subsequently gone on to run behind Mr. Lupton in another of those sales races. That was on better ground at Doncaster. He'd want the ground just to dry out a little bit, I think, and that might be the only issue with him. Interesting horses in against him. Tabaraka was very taken with last time at Newbury with some cut in the ground. He'd finished second to Tash Week the time before, and he absolutely bolted up at Newbury, beating River Echo and Fang. I was there that day. He's a real bull of a horse, travelled very nicely. Connections are clearly happy that, you know, he's got the pace to come back to 6 furlongs with a bit of dig in the ground after winning at Newbury over 7. I think Dane O'Neill gets on very well with him. He's won his 2 starts on board him, and I think Tabrak could probably take a little bit of beating with conditions to suit here.
Tabrak the one then for Sam in that 4:30 contest at Salisbury. Just run us through, please, one more time, then your 4 bets for the action on Wednesday afternoon.
Well, certainly at Salisbury in the 4:30, we go with number 3, Tabarak, an improving horse of Hamdan Amak-Toombs. Then on to Nottingham, a really competitive card there, but Moccasin catches the eye in the mile and a quarter race. Recent winner for Jeff Harker up at Redcar. Stable in very good form at the moment. Fingers crossed he'll go quite well in the middle distance series final at 3:45. Then 2 sprints which close the card in the 4:50. The sprint series final handicap stakes, reluctantly overlooking Sir Billy Wright in preference for Crew Cut, who looks a little bit better drawn with conditions to suit. And then in the finale, also doesn't win very often, Flash City, but he might give you a good run for your money at an each way price in the last.
Okay, lovely stuff. There we are, the thoughts of Sam Turner ahead of Wednesday's racing, which you'll hear live on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. with Stuart Beasley, John Budden and Ollie Pimlott taking you through the action at Chepstow, Nottingham and Salisbury in the afternoon, Kempton Park in the evening, and an Irish card from Sligo to enjoy on Wednesday. Thank you very much for joining me on today's podcast, Sam, and best of luck.
Cheers, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.